What's up, everybody? This is Calvin here with Electronic News Network, home of Electronic Editions. We are here again today, live people, taking news off of our LinkedIn page today. It is April the 28th, 8 a.m., and there's some pretty good news, guys. Pretty good, pretty big tech news, software updates, gaming updates as well for you gaming nerds out there. All right, so without further ado, guys, before we move forward, please click the like and subscribe button below. It really helps this channel push out to YouTube so more people can see more content like this and get updated, right? Also, guys, please go ahead, visit our website, electronicadditions.net. There, guys, you'll be able to find our most recent blog updates, product rollouts as well too, guys, and you guys will be able to know the benefits of being an EAD club member, right? So you be a club member, you'll have way more benefits, more perks, guys, and become part of the community. Okay, so without further ado, guys, let's get started for today. All right. So it looks like Microsoft reports strong Windows, Xbox, and cloud growth for quarter three in 2021. Right, so Microsoft posted the third quarter of its 2021 financial results yesterday, reporting revenue of $41.7 billion. Right, so that's a lot of money, right? And the net income of $15.5 billion. Revenue is up 19%, and net income has increased by 44%. Right, so once again, Microsoft has seen strong growth for Xbox and cloud-related services. Right, so the PC market isn't slowing down despite a global chip shortage, right? And Microsoft is benefiting from this once again. Windows OEM revenue has grown by 10%, reflecting the strong consumer PC demand, right? So Windows non-pro OEM revenue also grew 44%, and only Windows OEM pro revenue declined by 2%, which is not that bad, right? So this is surprising growth for Windows overall and reflects the pandemic demand and we've seen for laptops and PCs over the past year, right? So during an earnings call, Microsoft CEO revealed there are now 1.3 billion active Windows 10 devices. That's a lot of devices, guys. We're now expecting Microsoft to detail some of its upcoming changes to Windows 10 at Build next month, and the planned sweeping visual rejuvenation of Windows, right? So we know, guys, Microsoft just made an update to Windows 10, and it looks like they're going to keep making updates, right? So we'll see more and more updates each month, more and more patches too that come through. So no malicious malware or ransomware or anything like that can be affecting the overall cloud and overall operating system, right, on everyone's devices. So, this is good, guys, right? So let us know in the comments what you think about this below. Maybe you love, Windows, right? Maybe you like Mac, maybe you like Apple. Let us know the deal, So if you want to learn more about this too, you guys can go ahead, follow us on LinkedIn, click into the article. You guys can definitely learn more about it there. Moreover, guys, news on health, right? So people who are vaccinated don't need to wear masks during many outdoor activities, the CDC says. So the Center for Disease Control and Prevention released new guidelines for people who have fully vaccinated against COVID-19, outlining the situations where vaccinated people can stop wearing masks, right? So people are considered fully vaccinated 2 weeks after the second dose of Pfizer, BioNTech, and Moderna vaccines, and 2 weeks after the Johnson and Johnson shot, right? So keep this in mind, guys. Let me read this again to you. People are considered fully vaccinated 2 weeks after the second dose of the Pfizer, BioNTech, and Moderna vaccines, and 2 weeks after the Johnson and Johnson shot, right? So the guidelines announced today by CDC Director Rochelle Walensky give fully vaccinated people more leeway to return to normal activities, recognizing how effective the vaccines are at preventing disease. But they are complicated, and they ask people to keep track of different mask guidelines for a wide wide range of situations, right? So that doesn't mean, guys, that if you're not vaccinated, you can't go to these events. You can go to these events, right? Obviously, you just have to follow protocol with wearing masks at some of them. And even some of the events, guys, I'm going to show you in the chart here that the CDC designed too, that unvaccinated people at some events, even through exercise like walking and running and stuff like that, we don't have to wear masks, right? So I'll show you the chart here too in a second, guys, right? So it looks like, moreover, they're saying, I am optimistic that people will use this information to take personal responsibility to protect themselves and protect others, Walensky said during a press briefing today. So the CDC says that people who are vaccinated can stop wearing masks when they're indoors with other vaccinated people or with unvaccinated people they don't live with who are low risk for a severe case of COVID-19, right? So they don't need masks when exercising alone, outside, or when gathering outside with both vaccinated and unvaccinated people, right? But they should keep wearing masks at crowded outdoor events like sports games, right? So yeah, any crowded events, guys, it makes sense, right? So let me show you guys the charts here and list out the activities and the mask guidelines for fully vaccinated people and unvaccinated people, right? So this is the first activity, right? So if you're walking, running, or biking outdoors with members of your household, right? Or pretty much any other, say if you have like a partner that you're working out with, right? Fully vaccinated people don't have to wear a mask. Unvaccinated people don't have to wear a mask as well. Okay, so the second activity is that, once you're attending a small outdoor gathering with fully vaccinated family and friends, right? So, small outdoor gathering, probably like a get together, a barbecue, something like that, right? Fully vaccinated people don't have to wear a mask. Unvaccinated people also do not have to wear a mask. Right, so the activity, guys, third activity is when you're attending a small outdoor gathering with fully vaccinated people and unvaccinated people, right? So pretty much the same thing, right? So fully vaccinated people don't have to wear a mask, and they're saying unvaccinated people should wear a mask, right? So also, guys, the fourth activity, if you're dining at an outdoor restaurant with friends, right, from multiple households, fully vaccinated people do not have to wear a mask. Unvaccinated people, should wear a mask, right? That's what they're saying. So if you're dining outdoors, with friends or, multiple people, you should wear a mask, right? And then the fifth activity is once you attend a crowded, event, right? Event like live performance, say if it's a concert, you're going to see, Wiz Khalifa, you're going to see it, an artist that you really like, a pop star, or you're going to a bar, maybe you're going to a cultural bar, maybe you're going to a Jamaican bar, or a Haitian event or a club or something like that, or also a parade or sports event. They're saying that vaccinated people also should wear a mask. Unvaccinated people should wear a mask as well. So both parties should wear masks, right? So things like walking outside, exercising, both people, vaccinated, unvaccinated, they don't have to wear a mask, right? If you're attending a small outdoor event with vaccinated family members, unvaccinated people and vaccinated people also do not have to wear a mask, right? So pretty much, guys, if you're in a crowded space, if you're in a live performance or sports event, you should probably wear a mask, right? So that's the guidelines, guys. That's pretty much what it is, right? So that's what the CDC is saying, the big almighty institution is saying, right? So people who are fully vaccinated should still wear masks during indoor activities. like shopping or getting a haircut, right? So early guidance from the CDC cleared people who are fully vaccinated to spend time indoors, unmasked, and with other vaccinated people, right? So this is complicated, but complexity is the price for allowing people to go without masks early, said epidemiologist George Rutherford of the University of California, San Francisco, told BuzzFeed News. So if you want simple rules, then we just wear masks until every last one of us gets vaccinated, right? So nearly 40% of adults in the United States are fully vaccinated. More and more data shows that vaccines are overwhelmingly effective at protecting people from COVID-19, and that people who are vaccinated are very unlikely to catch the virus and pass it to someone else, right? So again, that's what they're saying, guys. So guys, you know what's healthy for you. You know what's good for you. You know the decisions you need to make, right? So even if you're an event, say if you're still vaccinated, you feel like wearing a mask, you're not really sure, you just want to stay safe, you wear a mask, right? Even if you're unvaccinated, you don't need to wear a mask. You feel like you want to wear a mask, you can wear a mask. I feel like now it's coming more of, kind of more of your own choice, right? Which is, definitely good. So, yeah, guys, definitely stay safe out there. If you guys want to learn more information about this too, you guys can follow us on LinkedIn, click into the article. You guys can learn more about it there too. Moreover, guys, we also have Eddie Q, right, wanted to bring iMessage to Android in 2013, right? So when you think about this, guys, iMessage, this is a iPhone type of messaging platform, right? So Android has their usual text message, right? But iPhones have the iMessage, right? So this is very interesting. How are you going to bring this to the Android community, right? So Eddie Q pushed to bring iMessage to Android as early as 2013, according to a new deposition made public as part of the Epic case, right? So currently Apple's senior VP of software and services, Q wanted to devote a full team to iMessage support on Android, right? So only to be overruled by other executives, right? So the and it makes sense, right? So why are you bringing that to the Android? Because it's not an Android feature, right? So he's going to get backlash. He's going to get fought on this, right? So the line of questioning is likely to play a significant role in Epic's antitrust lawsuit, which argues that iOS App Store exclusively represents an illegal use of market power, right? So Epic has made clear in previous filings that it plans to make iMessage exclusively part of that argument, right? So citing a 2016 email from Phil Schiller that argues iMessage expansion will hurt us more than help us. And I think that's absolutely true, guys. Like, there's no way. It's an interesting concept, right? If you have that, that's cool. But I mean, that's what makes the iPhone unique is having iMessage, right? And iPad, iPhone, iPod, right? That's an Apple thing. And once you really start to bring that brand, that just that the whole concept of that over to a new platform, it's not. That's like bringing, Xbox Game Pass or Xbox, gaming or exclusivity to PlayStation, right? It just doesn't work. People buy them for a reason. It's totally separate, right? So, that's what I have to say about that too, guys. So let us know what you think in the comments below. Very interesting, guys. If you guys want to learn more about this too, you guys can go ahead, follow us on LinkedIn, click into the article. You guys can learn more about it there too. Speaking of PlayStation, it looks like Sony has sold over 7.5 million PS5 consoles. Sony has sold over 7.8 million PlayStation 5 consoles as of March 31st. The company says in its largest earnings report, right? So the number of PlayStation Plus subscribers is now 47.6 million at a 14.7% increase on year to year. So the fourth quarter figures bring the overall PlayStation business to a total operating profit of 342.2 billion yen, right? Which is $3.14 billion. Okay. So for the 2020 financial year, so a record for Sony, right? So when they come out with yen, guys, we got to understand this is built in China. So, that's why they're using that type of currency, right? So Sony's last earnings report revealed that company has shipped 4.5 million PS5 units around the world throughout the end of 2020, right? So that means that 3.3 million units were shipped from January to March, right? Giving an idea of Sony's current manufacturing capacity. It's still very difficult to actually buy a PS5 with demand far outstripping supply, right? So, and that's true, guys. That's true. We know that demand, there's lots of demand for PlayStation, right? And there still is, right? So the quarter-to-quarter drop is likely to expand explained by Sony ramping up production ahead of systems launch, right? So right now, guys, too, you can probably grab a nice PS5 through Walmart, Target, Amazon, stuff like that too. You can also go through our website, electronicedigitals.net, to see if our pricing works for you as well too. But now it looks like demand is it's still up, but definitely not as up as it was before. There's a a slight decline, because Sony definitely had to start producing more, right? So, that's what it is, guys. So if you guys want to learn more about it there, you guys can follow us on LinkedIn, click into the article. You guys can learn more about it there too. So it looks like ARM reveals its latest server chips for data centers, right? Edge, HPC, and more, right? So it looks like ARM has announced a completely new chip architecture as it aims to continue its progress into the data center and high performance computing space, right? So dubbed the Neoverse V1, ARM claims the new chip will outpace its current server space contender, the Neoverse N1, offering twice the floating point performance as well as a fourfold increase in machine learning performance, right? So, which is really cool. So, ARM first introduced the Neoverse N1 back in early 2019 in the form of Amazon's Graviton 2 and Ampere's Ultra Server processors, right? For you nerds out there that are into chips, you guys are definitely knowing what I'm talking about. So, as per Anand Tech, and the Graviton 2 became the dominant hardware deployment in Amazon's AWS editions in 2020, picking up the majority of the market share being lost by Intel, right? So they definitely picked up that market share lost by Intel. I know that Intel people, there's some people that still really love Intel. There's some people that has just moved on to a totally different processor. They think that other ones are more sophisticated, right? They hold just more power and speed, right? So, and that's the case, guys, right? So, yeah, if you guys want to learn more here too, go ahead. You can click into the article on our LinkedIn page. Moreover, guys, it looks like Apple, guys, Apple bans offering you rewards for switching off iOS 14.5 app tracking, right? So all us iPhone fans out here, people that own iPhones, if you've been having apps that reward you for switching off your iOS 14.5, now Apple is looking to cut those apps, right? So no more rewards, and they're doing this for a reason, right? So Apple's iOS 14.5 update is finally out, and one of the most talked about features is app tracking transparency, right? So now Apple has announced that any apps that reward you for turning on data tracking will be banned from the Apple Store. Right, so Apple tracking transparency is a new data privacy feature that will let you control how apps track you when you are not using them. Right, so the apps can still track you on their own platform, but not what you do on others without asking first. Right, so however, block tracking will most likely negatively affect the finances for many developers, so offering an incentive to accept is in their best interest. Apple's new human interface guidelines to protect you from any apps hoping to manipulate you into being tracked, which is definitely a step forward, right? Because we know that companies and applications and websites. We know that once you accept their term and conditions, right, and you are putting in your information, they have the right to sell your information to other parties, right? And mostly, guys, they're selling your information to other companies so the other companies can market to you, right? That is their sole purpose, is to market, okay? And if they're tracking you, they're only tracking what you are doing, so they can get more insight on how you're using their probably their website, their application, so they know what's the most popular. They're pretty much just tracking what are you doing in the app, right? What's so fond? What do most people do in the app or the website, right? So they're doing this, right? And some people don't know it, right? Some people do know, right? So some people don't mind giving their information, right? Just so it can help the company see what they can do to increase their performance, right? But I mean, the fact that Apple is making this a guideline, I feel like it is a step forward, and it is very important. It needs to be talked about, right? I feel like most people that even because privacy updates, right? This is why we come out to you guys with this stuff, right? Most people don't know about it. Some people do. A lot of people are getting the gist of it. Some people are a little bit skeptical, right? But we're still living in the digital realm. Companies are going to be doing this, so it needs to be talked more about in a brighter light. They don't, they're not, I feel like companies are not too transparent on that. But that's just what it is, guys, right? So yeah, if you guys want to learn more about this too, you guys can definitely go ahead, follow us on LinkedIn, click into the article. You guys can learn more about it there. Right. So, and also, guys, it looks like illegal football streaming sites are absolutely riddled with dangerous malware. And when I mean football, I mean football like futsal, soccer, right? And possibly other sports sites too, when illegal streaming sites for sports, right? So you guys want to be careful on that. So analysis of illegal websites used by hundreds of thousands to stream football matches worldwide has revealed fans are putting themselves at considerate risk, right? So according to a report from cybersecurity firm Webroot, right, almost 92% illegal football streaming websites contain some form of malicious content, from malware and phishing lures to social engineering scams, right? So this is the things that I was talking about, guys. You have to really be careful. And when they mean that, guys, they're talking about their malware that's even on their site can affect your computer. They're probably going to say if you enter your phone, your email, or whatever, they'll contact you. Okay, you're on our site. We're going to maybe probably send you a link in your email so we can make it look like we're offering you a deal. They capture your information, and then boom, right? So they get that information. All they need is just a little bit of information to send you, keep sending you stuff. Once you click on something that looks good, they're going to social engineer you to import more information to get access to things like finances, to things like accounts that are very important, right? So these guys are getting very, very good, guys, and you have to be aware and protect yourself against that, right? So the likelihood is, Webroot claims that anyone that used an illegal website to watch last week's Carabao Cup final or action from Europe's top domestic leagues will have been exposed to a sophisticated cryptocurrency scam designed to lift banking credentials, guys. Like I just said, people, and the sad thing about this is that people are falling for this, guys. People are falling for stuff like this, guys. And this is, again, this is why we love to bring this type of value and content to you guys, so you guys can stay aware, you guys can stay diligent, and protected, because you don't want no cryptocurrency scam from another country, guys. And You know, I wouldn't say a lot of them are in the US, right? A lot of them, when you talk to them, they sound like they're from a different country, right? They sound like they're probably from Africa. Again, no offense to all those other countries, but they sound like they're from other countries, right? Or from India or for something like that, right? So you have to be very, very cautious and very, very aware of what's going on. Right, so that's what it is, guys. Be very aware. Again, I'm just going to name it again. You know, any email that you see in your email that you don't know what it is, even if it's a marketing email, you know, you really want to check up on the business and the company. You know, instead of clicking the link, why don't you type it in on Google? Type in if there's an actual company, right? You know, go to their official website, maybe call them and ask them, is this deal real? And if they confirm it, cool. If they say no, then that's probably a scam, right? You know, if you're getting links in your text messages saying that, hey, you want some money, or you know, you got approved for a grant, or you know, you got approved for whatever, and you know, you didn't even apply for anything, and they're sending you a link, do not click it, right? Again, guys, these guys will social engineer you. And even the websites that you know, you're going online and it may seem like a real email, right, from maybe Facebook or Apple. Say, hey, there's this deal here, you know, go over here, put in your information, and you know, check out here, and we will send you the product. Those sometimes are social engineering, right? So they know that they can mask the URL of the actual real website, and they can force you to put information and your banking details, and boom, they take your information, they take your banking details. All that's all they need, guys. So you have to be very careful. I would definitely double check, call the company, see if there's any real deals out there. And that's how, you know, just stay safe, guys. You definitely just want to be aware, stay safe in the digital realm. All right, guys. So moreover, guys, we also have the 10K 10.5 kilogram, right? So this new e-bike is one of the lightest in the world, right? So e-bikes, really cool, guys. I know we covered some in our previous episodes. These e-bikes, some e-bikes, guys, are very, very expensive, close to like $3,000-$4,000. Some of them cost just about like as a motorcycle, right? Because they're just electric smart bikes, right? But you know, they're just really, really cool, right? So e-bike company Ribble has announced two new super light electric bikes, including one that tips the scale at under 11 kilograms, making it one of the lightest in the world, right? So the Endurance SLE Hero is new version of Ribble's flagship carbon electric bike, and the company has managed to shave almost 2 kilograms off of the original model, resulting in an e-bike that weighs just 10.5 kilograms. It's very rare to see an e-bike under 10 kilograms in out experience, so that's quite an achievement, right? So like all Ribble e-bikes, the Endurance SLE Pro or SLE Hero has fully integrated battery and drive system, right? So it works together with the Mahaly e-bike motion app, right? So if you have an e-bike, you'll have to download this app, and it works together with the app, right? So that's pretty cool. Very, very cool, guys. So if you guys want to learn more about that too, you guys can follow us on LinkedIn, click into the article. You guys can learn more about it there. Also, guys, lastly, more on gaming. So it looks like for you gaming nerds out there that love The Last of Us, so it looks like The Last of Us 3 has a plot, and Naughty Dog hasn't ruled out future development, right? So the plot exists for a potential that The Last of Us 3, and while a next entry in the critically acclaimed The Last of Us series isn't currently in development, right? So developer Naughty Dog hasn't ruled out the possibility it could happen in the future. Speaking during an episode of the Script Apart podcast, The Last of Us creator, director, and Naughty Dog co-founder Neil Druckmann revealed that he and co-writer Hallie Gross have written the plot for The Last of Us 3, and that he hoped one day it will see the light of day, right? So I don't know how much I want to reveal, Holly Gross, and Holly Gross said, and I did write an outline for a story that we're not making, but I hope one day, right, you can see the light of the day that explores a little bit what happens after this game. We'll see, right? So this seems really cool, guys, right? So hopefully they are in development. They're going to be in development. We know that The Last of Us, you know, I think 1 and 2 are on the PlayStation Store. So if you guys want to go and play those games, you guys can do that as well. All right, guys. So that is pretty much the news we're going to be taking for today, guys. Hopefully, you know, this brought you value. You got more clarity, and, you know, you guys would do your own due diligence. What's good for you as well, too, guys. All right. So please, guys, go ahead. Visit us on our website, officially electronicadditions.net. We'll be having more product rollouts, too, within the next couple of weeks. More deals and things like that for you guys. And, you know, hopefully you guys are staying safe, enjoying the weather, and, yeah, having a good time. All right. So see you guys soon in the next one. Peace out.